The preaching and teaching of the Word of God this morning. That was a blessing. And be honored if you would pick up a prayer card at the back and remember to pray for us. There are a number of people that we've been working with. Maybe you would remember to pray for a couple, Gordon and Janet. And Gordon and Janet are a couple that we've been working for, and I say we, both ourselves and our team members, the male, since we've been on furlough since March 1st. But back at the 1st of February, Gordon and Janet began coming to both to our home and out to things that we were holding and to services and hearing the Word of God preached and just seeing God work in their lives. And as God continues to give us opportunity to sow the Word of God in their hearts, pray for Gordon and Janet, if you would. Another couple is Mike and Emma. And when we started working with Mike in particular almost a year and a half ago, Mike said he was an atheist and would never set his foot in the door of a church. And just over time, keeping the Lord in the forefront and spending time with Mike, having them over to our house or them over to the male's home and out to his son's, watching his son's basketball games, all the time, the Lord just giving us opportunity after opportunity to answer questions and talk about the Lord along the way. Mike has been coming. And so we just pray for the souls, those four people in particular, the souls of those people, Mike and Emma, and Gordon and Janet in particular. And so we just covet your prayers and thank you for that as you bring these things before the Lord, that we would see God work for us. And as we sow the seed, He both give us boldness in the sowing of that seed and fruit for His word as it goes forth. And we would be pleased, afterwards we'll certainly make ourselves available. And if you have any questions about ourselves or Nova Scotia, it's on the opposite side of the continent from you. So you're almost as far west as you can go in North America, and we are almost as far as east as you can go in North America. There's one province further east than we are, Newfoundland. And so after that, you're into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. But we're glad to be here, and thank you so much for your time and consideration. And as I said, pick up a prayer card, and we'd be just to cover your prayers for us. You're in Missions Conference, and maybe just take our Bibles this afternoon, and let's open up to the book of Judges. And it is interesting how God always works these things out. If you'll turn to Judges chapter 3. And as your pastor was preaching this morning, I thought the Lord knows how to put things together, and this really, in a big way, is a companion message to what your pastor preached this morning. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit this afternoon about our liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Our liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. And as I was reading through Judges just in the last number of weeks, there was the judge Shamgar caught my attention. And, you know, there are a number of judges in the book of Judges that you frequently will only have maybe a verse of scripture that records them. But maybe if you'll turn, if you're with you in your Bibles in Judges chapter 3, and notice Shamgar is mentioned in verse 31. Judges chapter 3 and verse 31, it says, "After him was Shamgar the son of Anoth, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Isn't that interesting? Then when we come into chapter 4, we come into Deborah and Barak, and then we have there the victory that God gave Deborah and Barak. And finally, we come to Judges chapter 5, which is the victory song of Deborah and Barak. And look in the first 9 verses, chapter 5, Judges chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchedst out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, so we get a little record here of what Israel was like in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath. In the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. Isn't that interesting? The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Notice that Israel, as they went into the promised land under Joshua, they defeated their enemies and they had great liberty of life in the land of Israel, didn't they? In the promised land. God had expected and he had given the land of Israel to his people Israel. He had given the promised land to his people Israel to there live in liberty, in peace, and in prosperity. But we find, as well as many other places in the book of Judges, but here, that they had lost their liberty. Notice that. It says in verse 8, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. You know, liberty is freedom from restraint. Amen? Freedom from restraint. And we see that Israel had lost their freedom in the land of Israel. They had lost it because they were no longer able to travel freely in the highways. They had to travel through byways. That's kind of like if you were headed to town, if you wanted to head over to the shopping area in North Pole, over towards the grocery store, and rather than going down Plaque Road and now I'm forgetting the road. Badger Road, thank you. And down Badger Road, you had to take your four-wheeler, your quad, and you had to take little forest paths to get there and come in the back. Amen? And so, in other words, they weren't able to travel freely because no doubt the Philistines were harassing them along the way. Notice also in verse 7, it says, the inhabitants of the villages ceased, because villages are unwalled towns. And so people were no longer able to live in peace and freedom in their unwalled towns. And so we see here that the picture that God paints for us with these words about the days of Shamgar and the days of Jael was a day when Israel had lost their liberty. But you know, we as the New Testament, the born-again children of God, we have a liberty in Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at a few verses this morning regarding our liberty in Jesus Christ. Let's begin in Romans chapter 8 and verse 21, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. And as you're turning there to Romans 8 and verse 21, our liberty is extremely important in regards both to our relationship, and from our relationship with God comes our service to God and the fulfilling of the Great Commission, doesn't it? This liberty is entirely, absolutely essential for us to have if we're going to serve the living God and be fruitful in Him. We find out in Romans chapter 8 and verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now notice there's something future there in that verse, and there is something present in that verse. The thing that is present in that verse is the glorious liberty of the children of God. The liberty for the children of God that we have in Christ Jesus is not something future. It is something that you possess right at this moment if you're a saved child of God. And so, but notice the creature, the creation, shall also be delivered from that bondage. There's going to come a day in the future when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and the lion will lay down lay down with the lamb, and there will be a liberty, and the curse of sin will be lifted, and there will be a liberty. Well, what is that liberty? Just turn back to the first of the chapter and notice this. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, there are those out there who, when they speak of Christian liberty, they speak as if we had freedom to do whatever we wanted. Well, that is not the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. In fact, as we'll look, as we get in our introduction real quickly here this morning to 2 Peter 2:19, there are those who promise liberty but actually bring into bondage. And so, but notice this liberty that we have when Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed His blood, not only did He obtain for us by His blood the forgiveness of our sins, but He also obtained for us new life in Jesus Christ, something we possess right now. And that new life, notice that when a person is born again of the Spirit of God, that the law of sin and death is canceled in our lives. It doesn't mean we don't struggle with sin or have the motions of sin in our old nature. We still have that, but it's no longer a law. It no longer rules us. And what law is replaced? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is our liberty, that we can know and serve and please the living God. So would you go with me to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5, this liberty is very, very important. So in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, thank you for turning there. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Obviously, by the command to stand fast in the liberty and the warning to not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, our liberty is something that we can lose. Our liberty in Jesus Christ is something that we can lose. And on the flip side, not only can we lose it, but notice we can regain it. Stand fast in the liberty. Now, we're not talking about your salvation. We're talking about your freedom to serve the living God. Notice also in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 16. Let's begin in verse 13 and read all the way to 17. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Notice in 16 that the definition of our liberty is given as the servants of God. You see, before I was saved in 1987 at the age of 15, I only served one thing in my life, and that was sin. That's what I served, sin and death. And so when Christ saved me, He made me free that I may serve Him. That I may serve Him. Something that was impossible prior to Him saving me. as free, but not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Now turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Speaking about false teachers here in 2 Peter, says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. You know, when the prophets for profits out there, when the false teachers out there, they say things like the Joel Osteen messages that go along that are really just a message of self-confidence. Amen? That's really what it comes down to. I remember years ago watching the live broadcast of one of the Walenses, one of the Flying Walenses. Do you remember that? The tightrope walking family. And a few years back, it might be 6 or 7 years back, one of the Walensis sons tightrope walked a section of the Grand Canyon. And it was interesting, and the whole way across, and Joel Osteen was there. Joel Osteen was there because it's apparently his pastor. And the whole way across, as he's going across on this tightrope, and it got to the point where I just had to turn the volume down because they had him mic'd, and the whole time he was, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. And he's going across, and he's really using the name of Jesus as a lucky rabbit's foot. Really a way of promoting self-confidence and using it in a way like a talisman. And you know, that's the way that the world paints, or worldly Christianity paints, our liberty as something that God is really someone or something that can help you achieve your goals in your life. Well, that's not our liberty. And that's not what life with Jesus Christ is all about, is it? Like Pastor said this morning, that our life is about being dead to self and alive unto God and fulfilling His will for us. And so liberty is freedom from restraint. And that's applicable to our body or our will or the mind or our spirits. So let's go back to Judges chapter 5 again, can we? Judges chapter 5. Let's take a moment and ask God to give us strength and open our understanding and teach us. Father, we thank you today as we are opening the scriptures. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would have the preeminence. That, Father, no flesh would glory in your presence. That, Father, you would teach us as only you can. And that, Father, you'd be glorified in all things. We thank you today for your grace in our lives. We need you. And, Father, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at our liberty today, notice as I look at this passage of Scripture in Judges chapter 5 and verses 1 through 9. And we read in these verses, especially in verses 7, it says, the inhabitants of the villages, or verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the village ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose and that I arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? As we see how Israel has lost their liberty in the promised land, three questions come to mind this morning. One, how do you lose your liberty? Two, how do you recover your liberty once it's lost? And three, what does real liberty look like? Now, obviously, we're not talking about civil liberty this morning. We're not talking politics. We're not talking about life in as a citizen of the United States of America or a citizen of the of Canada. We're talking about life as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so our liberty goes beyond this world. But how do you lose liberty? Well, losing liberty is very simple. Losing liberty is found in verse 8 and the first four words. And they chose new gods. That's exactly how we lose liberty. Do you know there is no way that the nation Israel could have been oppressed by anyone as long as they from the heart served and worshiped and honored God? There is nobody in the promised land that could have ever taken a victory away from them. No enemy that could have ever been exalted above them. No one that could have taken their liberty. And by the way, there is no one in this universe that can take away your liberty but you. No one that can take away your liberty but you. You notice, the reason they lost their liberty is because their hearts were turned from the living God because they chose new gods. I use this illustration to Pastor many times about witnessing to somebody, and I've thought about this because it just happens all the time. You know, what is it when I choose a new God? When I'm witnessing to somebody, like much like the illustration you were given this morning, Pastor, when I'm witnessing to somebody, have you ever been witnessing to somebody and the Holy Spirit is leading you on? The Holy Spirit is opening an opportunity for you. The Holy Spirit is giving you, what, liberty to talk to that person. And then a little voice arises from your flesh, right, and says something like, don't you have somewhere else to be? Or says something like, you're just going to make them mad. Or something similar. Amen? And so at that point, you have a choice, right? And there's no middle ground to this choice, is there? You have a choice of whom you will serve. Right? Will you serve self and go off and do your thing? Or will you walk in liberty and serve the living God and fulfill His will? And so will you walk in liberty? It is only us that can take away our liberty. They chose new gods. Do you know, we often, all too often, identify idolatry with carved statues. But idolatry begins in the human heart. Long before a statue is ever erected, the heart has departed from God. And you know, we, out of the heart is the issues of life. And our hearts, from our hearts, we need to run after God each and every day. Notice what happened when they gave up their liberty. In chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? They became disarmed. They became disarmed. When we give up our liberty as the children of God, we become disarmed. Notice also in verses 6 and 7, as I've already emphasized, the highways were unoccupied, the travelers walked through byways, and the inhabitants of the villages ceased. And I don't think it's too much to read between the lines to realize it's because they were being harassed and terrorized by the Philistines. That's why they didn't have open communication. You know, when we give up our liberty by allowing our hearts to wander away from our Lord and Savior, we become disarmed and the enemy will terrorize us. That's exactly what it is. And so how you lose your liberty? We give it up ourselves. And you know, it's a day-by-day battle, isn't it? It's a day-by-day decision. It's a day-by-day seeking after God. and grabbing a hold of him and not letting go. Kind of like David, kind of like Jacob at Peniel, refusing to let go until we are blessed by the Lord. So how did Israel recover their liberty? Notice with me in verse 2 and verse 9, Deborah and Barak sing this. She says in verse 2, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves." And in verse 9, Deborah says, "My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people." Amen. You know, the cure for a heart that has gone away from the Lord is that we would just as Paul by the Spirit of God says in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We recover our liberty in Jesus Christ by turning our hearts back to him, repenting of that which took us away from our Lord, and offering ourselves before him as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, willingly. The cure, this cures, this offering of ourselves as a living sacrifice cures idolatry, and it cures distracted affections. So we might use the word idolatry, and maybe our minds go to things that we sometimes when we use the word idolatry, we tend to think of, you know, pagans running around, you know, worshiping stone idols or offering, incense to idols or something like that. But, you know, we are to attend upon the Lord without distraction. You know, our distracted affections, right? Our distracted affections are the beginnings of idolatry, because where your heart goes, right, that's where you're going to go end up. Our distracted affections. Notice also in Ephesians chapter 6. I had mentioned before that was we saw that when Israel was turned away, that there was war in the gates and there was no shield found. They found themselves unarmed. When we come back to the Lord and we walk with the Lord each day, the Lord restores our spiritual weapons and our armor. In other words, we are clothed upon. In verses 10 to 9, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Notice that our liberty restores our spiritual weapons and our armor. Notice as Paul begins, he talks about standing fast, not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of this darkness. And he talks about the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit and all prayer. Notice what he says in 19. He begins to speak about the liberty that he seeks. "As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Do you know the word ought means that there is a moral obligation? A moral obligation. He says that I may speak as I ought to speak. And in our liberty, we have an obligation. You know, all liberty comes with responsibility. All liberty comes with responsibility. And this liberty that we have in Jesus Christ carries with it the responsibility to do the will of God. So what does liberty really look like? Notice Paul here is speaking of this liberty as I ought to speak. Well, interestingly enough, let's go to Acts chapter 4. The pastor was there earlier this morning, but Acts chapter 4, and here is a church that is seeking liberty, seeking the strength, seeking the grace of God to carry out the will of God for their lives. Acts chapter 4, and beginning in verse 23, we realize the precursor to this is Peter and John have been arrested, and they have been threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. And so they return to the church, and in verse 23 it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast appointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Now, isn't it interesting what they say next? And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. You notice, as they come before God and say, behold their threatenings, they didn't ask, Lord, would you vouchsafe for us our comforts? Would you vouchsafe for us that we keep our jobs? Would you make safe for us our health and our prosperity that we would continue to live in our houses? And they didn't ask that, did they? Because they realized that walking in liberty does not have to do with the circumstances we find ourselves in this world. Do you know our brethren in China who preach the gospel and may find themselves in jail because of it? Do you know they have not lost their liberty in Jesus Christ because they may have lost their liberty in this world? Isn't that interesting? They're walking in the same liberty. In fact, it's walking in the liberty of Jesus Christ that may have allowed them to be put in jail for Jesus Christ. Say, is that true? Would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 1? Let's look at another example. There's all kinds of examples in the scriptures of the servants of God walking at liberty. Philippians, I said chapter 1. Yes, let's go to chapter 1 and verse 12. And the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the church in Philippi, and he writes it from a Roman jail cell. And as he writes this letter to the Philippian church from this Roman jail cell, he's in his last days, and he doesn't know how many days he has, but eventually Emperor Nero, as given permission by God, because nothing happens without God, none of these things are going to happen to God's servants without God's permission, and Paul is going to lose his head. And he writes back, and the church in Philippi is concerned with Paul. and their concern with ministry. And he says, but I would, verse 12, ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. You know, our liberty in Jesus Christ is not determined by circumstances in this world. Paul finds himself in jail, and the gospel is furthered. Now, I find that a little bit counterintuitive, don't you? How is it that you can shut a preacher up in jail and the gospel is furthered? Well, only God can do things like that. And the explanation is given to us. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. In other words, by God placing the Apostle Paul in jail, from the very highest places of Rome to the back alleys in the streets of that city, the whole city was set ablaze to talk about Christ. And he says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So the brethren were emboldened by Paul being in jail. And then he says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And so that either way, Christ was preached, and Paul rejoiced. And may I say, it's because of his liberty in Jesus Christ that he was able to rejoice. Able to rejoice. So there are things that threaten our liberty. But there is only one that can give our liberty up, and that's you. Only you can take away your liberty by allowing your heart to turn aside from the Lord. How do you get the liberty back? You repent and come back to the Lord. Because, you know, the Lord has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that, what does that liberty look like? That liberty cannot be known by our circumstances. Whether your circumstances are you get up every morning and go to a job and you bring home a paycheck at the end of a week and things are going, as we might say in this world, things are going rosy. Or whether the circumstances are your life is you're experiencing financial hardship, or you're experiencing health hardship. You know what? Those are the circumstances. That doesn't necessarily mean you don't have liberty in Jesus Christ. Or maybe like some of our brethren around the world who are suffering persecution, but they still walk at liberty in their souls before the living God. So how is your liberty? And as we ask that, we really realize this. Would you go with me to one last verse this afternoon, to Galatians? Go with me to Galatians. Chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? But you know, there is a precursor to faith. Or may I say it this way, there is a motivator to faith, and that is love. Notice that faith, it worketh by love. I remember years ago when the Lord began convicting me as a lost 15-year-old boy. He began convicting me, and my parents had taught me the Word of God for years, and I had resisted it. My Sunday school teachers had taught me the Word of God for years, and I just didn't care about it. And the preacher had preached from the pulpit for years as my parents took me to church, and I didn't care about it. But then one Monday morning, the Lord God began convicting me. He began convicting me and showed me that I was a God-hating and hell-deserving sinner, but that He loved me anyways. And as He began to teach me, as He began to open up my understanding, I realized that a God who loved me that much, I could entrust with my soul. And so God's love was the motivator for my faith. Faith is entrusting. You know, and I have learned or been endeavoring to learn each and every day, you know what, not only how to trust God more, but how to love Him more. Because my love, my faith for Him will never exceed my love for Him. So where's your heart today? Where's your heart today? Is it focused upon the Lord? And do you walk in the liberty that wherewith Christ hath made you free? Or do you entangle yourself with that yoke of bondage again? Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll ask the pastor to come and close as he sees fit. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the freedom we have in Christ. Oh, Father, so many times we can get distracted. And Lord, let our hearts wander away. Lord, we pray, bring each one back and work in our lives as You know our need. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.